Okay, welcome everybody to our Shir on Tisha B'Av. Not on the topic of Tisha B'Av, but on the day that we observe Tisha B'Av. So I'll tell you, I was telling someone last week, and we mentioned that you're not allowed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av, so she said, why are you giving a Shir? So I said, if it's sad, you're allowed to learn. So when I was going over it this morning after I said some kinnas, some insults of the Rav and kinnas, started to look over my notes. And I added an introductory paragraph. What can I write that has not been written? What can I say that has not been said? The magnitude of the day, which encompasses all of our tzaros, all of our collective tears, our millennia of pain, does not need my words. Last night I heard Eicha here, my friend's husband read Eicha, Mr. Schreier, at 10 o'clock. It's the first time I heard Eicha in many years. When you have young children, you don't get out at night to go to Eicha. The sorrowful tune, the heart-wrenching words, the impact of the calamities that have been fallen our people since the time of Churban Beis HaMikdash permeated my soul. I was on the verge of tears. Mamish, my eyes were filled with tears. What can I say that has not been said? Hashem sefasai tiftach ufi yagid tilasacha. The first base of Mikdash was destroyed because we transgressed the three cardinal sins of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichas Damim by the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, Nebuzaradan, the chief butcher, chief of staff. And because of the sins of Sinas Chinam, second base of Mikdash was destroyed by Rome in 68 CE. Please come in. There are seats. Please come in. It occurred to me on Shabbos, a lot is said about the connection between Parshas Devarim and Tisha B'Av. Excuse me, no water. I had a dream last night. Who learns with me a shari? I had a dream that I was at my Wednesday night weekly chabura, and I took, this is a true story, let's lighten it up a little. I took a drink of water, and I was so distressed that I drank. I texted Rabbi White, and I said, I drank water. That's another connection that we didn't say last week in Parsha class between Devarim and Tisha B'Av. Klal Yisrael says to Moshe, "Bisinus Hashem, Osanu Hotzianu Me'arim Tzitzrayim." God hates us, so He took us out of Egypt. And what occurred to me as I looked over the pasuk, "Bisinus Hashem," the word "sinas" in relation to the sin of Miraglim, the first Tisha B'Av, is what brought down the second temple. And Rashi says there, a person says in their heart how they feel about somebody else, how they think that person thinks about them. What do we learn from their besinas Hashem? When we think Hashem, kaviyachol, God forbid, hates us. And when we hate Him, chalila, we transfer that sinna to basar v'dam. Interaction between Adam l'makom reflects interaction between Adam l'chaveiro. 2,000 painful years later, here we are. Every person in need of a refuah shleima. Every person longing for shalom bayis, everyone who needs parnasa to put food on the table, every man and woman who needs a shidduch, all of our nisyonos are because of Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rav Soloveitchik teaches, I forgot to say something very important. There's someone who works at the Young Israel of Woodmere, whose 14-year-old grandson is in need of refuah shleima, and I said I would dedicate this year to his refuah. He's seriously ill. Pinchas Shalom Tzvi Ben Zahava. I'm sorry. Hashem help me. Pinchas Shalom Tzvi Ben Zahava B'soch Shar Chaleisa. Soloveitchik says, there's one central theme stressed in the kinnus about the Crusades. Tisha B'Av is not only about today. And Tisha B'Av is not only about Chayim Meraglim. And Tisha B'Av is not only Churban Europa. Past is present. Present is future. Ad Yemos HaMashiach. The Crusades. During the time of the Crusades, says the Rav, the Jews would commit suicide and they would murder family members for the sanctification of God's name. The Crusaders used to drag the Jews into the church. They would baptize them by force, knowing what would happen to them. I need this to go away. I'm sorry. Knowing what would happen to them, the Jews did not wait for the enemy to come. They went ahead. They killed their children. And they killed themselves. They knew why they would be tortured. Rav Soloveitchik quotes Chazal, under these circumstances, when it is certain that one will fall into the hands of one's enemy and be tortured, you may kill the children and then themselves. Furthermore, says Rav Soloveitchik, they didn't trust themselves. They thought that under torture they would not be able to withstand the offer for conversion. After all, the offer was quite simple. Kiss the cross. Bow down to the crucifix. Accept baptism, you will live. Before the Crusaders killed the Jews, they always made the same offer. That's it. The Jews were not sure they would be able to withstand. So they killed one another, and they killed themselves. So when the Crusaders came into the shul, there was no one left alive. Rabbitson, there's chairs here. Please come in. Come in. The Ashkenazic response to literature discusses people who first killed their babies, their children, and then they killed themselves. Please listen to this. One of the leading Ashkenazic rabbinic authorities tells the story. A man wrote him a shaila. The Crusaders were approaching the house where he and his children and his wife were. So he and his wife killed the three children. Then he killed his wife. And he was about to kill himself. And something happened. And the Crusaders turned away. So he wrote a shaila. Do I have to do teshuva? Al Narus Bavel. Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu Bezachrenu Etzion. On foreign land. We sat and we wept. And remember Tzion, Rashi says on the capital of Tirim, Rashi says on this pasuk, Kishi Yaradnu the Gola, V'shalom Nevuchadnezzar, we went down to exile, Nevuchadnezzar asked us, Sheyashivulo, sing be a geshmak, piece of music, said Nevuchadnezzar. Kemo Shehayu Mishoravin ala Duchen. You know how you would sing on the platform, on the Duchen, in your Beis HaMikdash? Sing for me a soul-stirring melody. Chazal teach, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, groups of Kohanim went up with the keys to the sanctuary in their hands. Ribono Shel Olam, they said, since we did not merit to be worthy custodians, here are the keys. They threw them up. A heavenly hand emerged and took the keys. And the Kohanim threw themselves into the fire. It's permitted, says the Rav. A person to kill themselves, rather to be given over. I'm not paskening halacha, should never be in such a matzav. But we know there are three yarug val yavars, I mean. As I'll say, merit transpires on a day of merit, tragedy transpires on a day of tragedy. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, says the Gemara, Sechas Tani, so when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was the ninth of Av. It was a Motzei Shabbos. It was in the seventh year of the Shemitah cycle. It was the watch of the family of Yehoyariv. Different Kohanim, different families would do different watches. The Levim were standing on the Duchen. And they were singing. The same songs you sang to me on the Duchen, says the wicked enemy. Sing to me in my foreign land. Didn't they play music on the platform in the concentration camps? Bezachreinu Etzion. The Levim were mid-song. And before they could finish, the enemies came and captured them, says the Gemara. The same is true in the time of the Second Temple. Al Narus Bavel Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu Bizachreinu. Yerushalayim lives on in our memory. Moshe Rabbeinu does not have a grave. He does not have a monument. He does not have a memorial, says Rosh Hashanah Fathers. Nothing physical remains. But spiritually, Torah Tzivalanu Moshe remains. For 2,000 millennia, we couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael even if we wanted to. B'zachreinu Etzion, we had to remember her from afar. On the shores of the Nile River, we sat and we cried. He said that Tisha B'Av is every calamitous day, every decade, every century, every event of mourning is today. On the Nile, Atiftach v'tireu et hayaled. Baya opens it up, and look at this, there's a baby inside. V'hinei na'ar bocha. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and cried. By the rivers of the Nile River, by the side, by the banks of the Nile River, we wept. V'hinei na'ar bocha. V'tachmal alav, the first righteous Gentile, has rachmanis on this little boy who's crying, and there's a piercing balaturim. And the balaturim says, first it says, v'tireu el hayeled, she sees the lad, that's Moshe. V'hinei na'ar bocha, but now you told me there's a boy crying, so it's not the same. One is a na'ar and one is a yeled. So the balaturim says it must be two different people. V'tireu es hayeled, who's floating in the basket on the Nile River, baby Moses down the Nile, we all know that. V'hinei na'ar bocha, the balaturim says, quote, ze Aharon, it's Aharon. He stood by the shore. Na'ar bocha and gamatria, says the Baal Turim, Zeh Aharon HaKohen. A Jewish boy on foreign soil cries over the plight of his people, over the fate of his baby brother, over the ghettos, the pain, the slave labor. Don't, she doesn't have to leave. The Hester Panim. The Jewish boy, Aharon, the future man of peace, cries for us all. Al Narus Bavel, Sham Yashavnu, Gambachinu, Bezachrenu, Etzion, Behine Nar Bocha, on the Niles of the river. On the shore of the Danube, we stand and we cry. The wicked Nazis, Yamach Shman Vezechram, there are chairs. I don't want anyone to leave, please. On the shores of the Danube River, they would tie three Jews together. And they would shoot the middle one. And he would fall in, taking the two next to him along. Today, what remains next to the infamous Danube River, next to the Babylonian River, next to the Nile River, are bronze shoes nailed into place. A paltry, a pathetic, a teeny tiny, insignificant memorial to the worlds that were. Ala ravin besocha, talinu kinoraseinu, on willows by the shores of the Babylonian River, we hung up our harps. Rosh Amshar Falhirsch says, what is the significance of by the willows? The willows were part of Babylonian territory. At the site of the landmark of Babylonian territory, we became aware we are in our country of our conquerors, in the territory of the despots who have captured us. Here we are compelled to make our new home. Someone said to me last week, are you proud to be American? I grew up Canadian. I said, no. We don't have to agree, by the way. I said, no. I am grateful that this country took me in, and allows me to practice my Yehadus. I personally, I'm not telling for you. I'm not proud to be American. I'm proud to be Jewish. I'm proud to remember Tzion. Ala Ravim, and the sign, and their landmark, on the willows, when we realize, says Rav Hirsch, that here we have to dwell, we hung our harps. What happened when we got there? Kisham, there, She'elenu, Shoveinu. Divrei Shir, sing me a song, V'sololinu Simcha, you should have joy for Babylon, you should be proud to be here, forget the Altaheim, who needs it? Shivu lanu Mishir Tzion, sing songs from Zion. There on the supposed soil of our new home, writes of Shamshar Falhirsch, we were to cast off our mourning of our fallen country. We were to hail Bavel with mirth. Mirth is our rejoicing and joy as our new fatherland. Our new fatherland is Bavel. We were to hail them. Shiru lanu Mishir Tzion. Eich nashir. How can we sing? And the sages teach something compelling. It doesn't say we cannot sing, but it says how can we sing? The Levim got up, the Medrash says, they cut off their thumbs with their teeth. How can we sing means literally, we can't play the harp anymore. We are incapacitated, unable to sing. Eich nashir, ashir Hashem, ad masnecha. Am I proud to be American? Me personally, I'm grateful that I can live here. Lisa Jura, thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Lisa Jura was a 14-year-old budding pianist in the city of Vienna. She was 14 in the year 1938. The Nazi rise to power was increasingly becoming stronger and stronger. Lisa had been coming to her professor's studio for 4 years now. This was the first time anyone was standing guard by the apartment building. She shouldn't have been surprised, though. Nazi guards were becoming an increasingly menacing sight on the streets of Vienna. The Nazi looked at her coldly with his weapon around his shoulder. "What business do you have being here?" "I have a piano lesson," she said, trying not to be frightened by the commanding presence. "The professor will be waiting." The Nazi looked up to the second floor window. The professor motioned that the girl could come up. Lowering his weapon, he allowed her to pass. "Come in, Miss Jura," said the professor. She began to play somber Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata on his beautiful, polished, richly ornate Bluthner piano. She played well. She hoped to catch him smiling, as he usually did. She played for an hour uninterrupted. The professor didn't smile. He didn't comment. He just sat, very serious and somber. "Am I playing that badly?" said the budding pianist to herself. At the end, no comment. Lisa said, "May I do the Allegretto for next week?" He looked at her for a long moment. Eich nashir, ashir Hashem, al admas nechar. And he said to her, "I am sorry to tell you this, Miss Jura. I cannot continue to teach you." She was stunned. She was unable to move. There's a new law. It is a crime to teach a Jewish child. "I'm not a brave man," said the elderly professor. "I am sorry." She gathered her things. She found her way home. She neared her home. Her steps were uncharacteristically heavy. She went upstairs. Her mother saw her, her posture sagging, her eyes overflowing. Sham yashavnu. Gambachinu. "What's wrong, Lisa Le?" Malka took her daughter in her arms. Lisa cried. "Is it your professor?" Lisa nodded. "Don't worry. I have taught you before. I will teach you again." Lisa tried to smile, but they both knew she had surpassed her mother's ability. "Let's begin the day all over," said her mother. "I can't play now, Mama. I'm too upset." Ala Ravin Besocha. "When we saw the sign of willows, which represented Babylon," perhaps their agriculture, their wealth, their culture, their society, "Talinu kino rasenu," "I have to hang up my musical instruments." And then David HaMelech continues, "Im eshkachach Yerushalayim, tishkach yemini." The Levim already cut off their thumbs. "We forget Jerusalem, we should cut off ours," says David HaMelech. "Im eshkachach Yerushalayim," says Rashi. "Knesset Yisrael, Omeris Cain," Rashi says on Tehillim. "The entire Knesset Yisrael says, I will forget my right hand." Shem Shemfal Hirsch says, "If I forget Jerusalem, may I forget my right hand. Or it means hypothetically," says Rav Hirsch on Tehillim, "if I should forget you, my right hand will forget all its skill. My tongue will cleave to the roof of my mouth. Jerusalem is and will forever remain my musical inspiration, the strength of my words, the passion of my song. If I were to sing Shir Hashem al Admas Nechar, my hands cannot ply the strings of my harp. Tishkach Yemini." The Megillah says, we heard it last night, Gelas Eicha, chapter 5, verse 15, Parak Hey, Pasuk Tesvav. Shavat, Shavas, Misos, Libenu. The joy of our hearts has come to rest. Nehepach La'eva Micholenu. Our dances have turned to Eva, to Avelus. Shavat, Misos, Libenu. What happened to the joy in our heart? It ceases. The dances of Miriam Hanaviyah. Atikach Miriam Hanaviyah achos arnes hatov b'yadav at zitzena kol anashim mecharei betufim u'mecholos. The mecholos of Geulah have turned to avelos with the destruction. Salvechik writes, Shavas misos libenu. The joy of our hearts has ceased, says the Raf, with the destruction of the temple. Shavat means suddenly. He picks up on this word as it relates to Shabbos Kodesh. Why? Because Shabbos came in at the exact nanosecond. Hashem knows the exact moment of time. 1 minute before Shkia, it's Chol, says the Raf. 1 minute after Shkia, it's Kodesh. Shavat doesn't only represent a cessation, it represents a fraction of a second. A suddenness. The Rav writes, no one thought it would happen. Yirmiyahu went to buy a field and he thought he would come back and they would still be offering sacrifices. Shavat, Shavas. All of a sudden, with a suddenness, we don't have joy. Of course, says the Rav, after the Churban, people continue to lead normal lives. We rest. Merchants, buy and sell. Scholars, are busy learning Torah, workers occupied with labor, mothers occupied with children, but inwardly, in the depth of the heart, the Jew cries, Shavat misos libenu, na'apach le'evo mecholenu. There's no joy left inside. Tidbak l'shoni l'chiki. I stood up and I said my introduction. Tidbak lashoni lechiki. I can't talk. What can I? A nothing. 2,000 years removed. Who has not lived through a period of Churban. Rachmana litzlan. What can I add? Tidbak lashoni lechiki. My tongue clings to my palate. I have no words to describe the magnitude of the destruction. But inside, says the Rav, there's no joy. Im lo es karechi, im lo alas, yushalayim arosh simchasi. Says Rashi, at zikaron evel, churbana. The zikaron, the remembrance of the mourning of the churban. Lahazkiro. To remember the Churban Berosh Kol Simchasi. We know that when we go to a wedding, we sing a song. Very nice. We feel the pain of the song. Kara Alay Moed Lishbar Bachurai, says the Megillah. Hashem called upon me a yantif to destroy my young men. Usually, a Moed, a Gein Mayer, a Moed Tov, Amoadim l'simcha, whatever your nusach, it's a good time. It's a mo'ed, it's a time to meet Hashem. The shalosh regalim, our time where we are ola l'regal for the mo'ed of the chag. Come meet me, says God. On Shabbos, I come to your house. On Yantif, you come to mine. But the mo'ed of Eicha is the mo'ed of Churban, the mo'ed of destruction. The Mo'ed of Halal Yafa Ariel. The Mo'ed of Rabbi Mickey Mark. The Mo'ed of Rabbi Moshe Twersky. The Mo'ed of Eliraz Peretz. Kara Alay Mo'ed. Lishbar Bachurai. Gas Darach Hashem Livsulas Bas Yehuda. As if in a wine press, Hashem trampled like grapes the virgin daughters of Israel. Isn't the moed for redemption here? Atah takum terachem tzion. What about the moed of the yantif? Isn't it enough? Please listen. Ma'adiech, ma'adamelach, habas Yerushalayim, ma'ashavelach, ma'ashvelach, va'anachamich, besulas batzion. What testimony can I offer you? To what can I compare you to the city of Jerusalem? Ki gadol kayam shivrech miyer palach. Ki gadol, you heard these words last night. Ki gadol kayam shivrech. Your brokenness is as vast as the sea. Miyer palach. Think a doctor can heal us? There's no other nation, says Rashi, Amigilas Eicha. Two such calamities have befallen. I want to tell you what Miriam Peretz says. And the first time I told this over, a few weeks ago, I couldn't get through it. So I don't know why I'm retelling it. I'm going to try. Ki gadol kayam shivrech mi yer palach. Your brokenness is as vast as the sea. Who can heal you? Miriam Peretz says, since the death of Uriel, 1976 to 1998, he fell in the north by Hezbollah. This has become her personal statement. Ki gadol kayam shivrech miyer palach. For those who do not know Miriam Peretz, if you haven't heard me talk about her, I say you haven't learned with me enough. Then she lost Eliezer at the age of 56, she says, from a broken heart. And then she lost Ali Raz, 1978 to 2010, in the Gaza Strip. He was married with four children. Ki gadol kayam shivrech miyer palach is her personal statement. My pain is as vast as the sea. There is no one to heal me. Less than a month after Ali Raz was killed in battle, he was killed on Shabbat HaGadol. They sat Shiva for a day and a half because it was the antiv of Geula. She was asked to write a piece about her feelings. This is what she wrote. I'm going to try and get through. Uriel and Eli Raz, my life's joy and my heart's grief. Forgive me, my beloved children. Forgive me that I am here continuing without you. Life grasps onto me. It grips me by force. It doesn't release me. I don't know why. Why me? I'm a mother, like all mothers, hoping for a child's success, health, safety. Like all mothers, I'm afraid. I'm worried. I'm hurting. Forgive me, Uriel, my oldest child. This year, I won't be at your grave on Yom HaZikaron. I've done it for 12 years, half of them with Dad, along with Eli Raz. Eli Raz, your brother, who salutes you and shouts, my brother, my beloved. I'm sure you already know Eli Raz, your brother who you loved and admired. Your brother Eli Raz has joined you. So this year, I will stand beside him instead, because he needs me. He's in your section now. He has to get used to the dark, the earth. You know, I never played favorites. I always sat between the two of you. With my right hand, I stroked your golden locks. With my left, I smoothed his kinky curls. A hug on the right, a hug on the left, always together with one mother. Now I stand at a distance. 4 yards separate you from Eli Raz. I will gaze at you, Uriel, from behind Eli Raz's grave. I know you'll allow me. I hear your voice. Ima, my younger brother Eli Raz, he needs you. I'll be fine. I permit you, Ima, to be with Eli Raz for more time. And when you finished, Ima, when you've poured out your heart by Ali Raz, come to me for a little while. I need you too. Because a mother's embrace is never forgotten. Maybe with me, Ima, you'll find some comfort. I'll give you a hug. Don't worry, Ima, says Uriel. I'm here. I showed Ali Raz the way. I paved the path. I'm here with him. So is Dad. Dad's waiting with the talit, his two hands stretched out to bless us. Yivarachacha Hashem v'yishmeracha. Ya'ar Hashem panav eilecha v'chunecha. Yisa Hashem panav eilecha. Yaseim lecha shalom. Dear Ima, you must continue. And I, your mother, will forever hear your voice bursting from your tiny cradle, from your grave. I remember the lullaby you loved to hear before you went to bed. The light has been gone for a while. Don't leave now. Come, Ima. Come sit with me till I grow up. Hugging, kissing, loving, and continuing, Ima. There is Avelut Chadasha, Avelus Chadasha, there is new morning, and there is Avelus Yashana, Avelut Yashana, there is old morning. Avelus Chadasha is morning for today, and Avelut Yashana is morning for the Chorban. Rav Soloveitchik says, so we all know the saying, Ha'avar Ayin. V'ha'asira dayin, v'ahova karefayin. We know the saying. The past is not here. The future is not yet. The present in the blink of an eye. But the Rav says, in my opinion, this is wrong. The past is not gone. It's here. The future is not only anticipated, it's here as well. And the present connects the past to the present, to the future. That is what is meant by what the Rav calls a unitive time consciousness. The unity of time, being conscious or aware that if you're a Jew, there's no past. It's all today. Al-Biyas Gold Tzedek, it's all today. It's not the past. Something that happened a long time ago. That I read about in Encyclopedia Judaica. The Babylonian rivers today, the Nile rivers today, the Danube rivers today. This is what is meant, says the Rav, by a unitive time consciousness. Tisha B'Av, says Rav Soloveitchik, would be a ludicrous institution if we did not have the unitive time consciousness. We say in the Kinos, on this night, Balel Hazah, the temple was destroyed. This means 1900 years ago, means tonight. Balel Hazah means today. Apparently, says the Rav, 1900 years ago is neither remote nor is it distant from us. It is living. Time is alive. It is vibrant. It is as feeling as a fleeting moment in time. The unit of time consciousness contains an element of eternity. There's not past, there's not future, there's no present. All three merge into one experience, says the Rav. One awareness. Man is heading, rushing in a panicky future, and he finds himself in the embrace of the past. Historical mourning, says the Rav, Avelut Yashena, Avelus Yashena, is based on unitive time consciousness. Without the experiential memory, if you don't experience the Churban, it would be ridiculous to speak of mourning something that happened 2,000 years ago. Without the unitive time consciousness, there's no Avelus, because you're not sad, because it's archaeology, because it's history, because it's some course in some secular university where they tell you what happened in antiquity. But the unit of time consciousness brings the past to today. Meshkachach Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini. A short time after liberation, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, along with 500 other child survivors, found himself on French soil, on the grounds of a French convalescent home, the orphanage in Ecouis. Anyone know how to pronounce that? I even looked up on Google and I couldn't find it.
In French.
Ecouis. How?
Ecouis.
Did you say? Spell it again. Ecouis. Okay, I don't know. Let's go on. One morning, the director of the children's home told the children some important visitors were coming to see the children that afternoon. The mayor was coming, representatives from the police, the army. The older boys in the group said, "Oh, now they're coming? Where were they when the Germans took us? When they murdered our family? When they ripped us from our home? Now the important people are coming to see us? We won't cooperate," said the children. The director said, "Please, Rachel Mintz, please do it for me." They decided on a compromise. The children would attend, but they would sit and not look at the dignitaries. They would not clap. They would not stand up for them. They would not applaud. True to their word, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau writes, "A photograph taken of the event shows no faces, only 500 shaved heads looking down." As one speaker after another spoke, each guest said a few words. Finally, Rachel Mintz introduced the last speaker, a Jew who had survived Auschwitz. She introduced him as a fellow survivor who lost his wife and children. At that moment, without any advanced planning, 500 pairs of eyes and 500 heads simultaneously all looked up in a look of solidarity with their fellow survivor. Rav Lau writes, "He was one of us. We looked at him. He saw hundreds of pairs of eyes fixed on his face, a powerful grip of empathy. Tears choked his throat. He looked over at us, 500 bald-headed survivor children, his hands shaking as he held the mic. He managed to say only three words in Yiddish, Kinder, tire a kinder. That's all he said. Children, dear children," he burst into tears. And all of a sudden, along with him, our own tears fell down our cheeks. The dam broke. And there in the French countryside, the lawn was turned into a literal veil of tears. Al Naros Bavel, Sham Yashavnu, Gambachinu, Bizachrenu, at Zion. Zion represents all of our joy, all of our simcha, every mo'ed, every piece of good news and besuras tovos. And the Churban represents every calamity, every river, every chimney, every Jew burned at the stake, every akedah of kachnas, binchas, yechid, chasher, havdas, yitzchak. Bezachreinu at Zion, in our mourning, we remember what was. Even 85 years after the events, says Rav Lau, "Every time I tell the story, my eyes fills with tears. We cried for ourselves, for our parents, for our families, for our world that was destroyed." In the midst of all of this, a young man, Aaron Feldberg, stood up. He was 25. He was old for our group, but he made it through because after the war, he was all of 86 pounds. He stood up and he spoke in Yiddish. "If you will allow me, I would like to say a few words on behalf of my friends. We would like to thank you. Not to thank you for coming, because we didn't want you to visit. Not to thank you for your gifts, because we don't want anything from you. I thank you for the greatest gift of all, the gift you gave us 500 children a few minutes ago, the gift of the ability to cry, and they took my father and mother. My eyes were dry. When they beat me with their clubs, I bit my lip. I haven't cried, nor have I laughed for years. We starved, we froze, we bled, but we didn't cry. And for the past few months, I have wondered to myself, am I a human being? I didn't know, but now I cried. And now I say thank you, because whoever can cry today will laugh tomorrow, and he is a human being. For this I thank you. Then he quoted a pasuk from Tanakh. He says, I haven't seen my family for 6 years, nor have I learned any bit of Tanakh for 6 years. But one passage from Yechezkel I remember. So says Hashem, Hine ani poteach es kivroseichem, I will open your graves, says the Navi. Va'alisem eschem mikivroseichem, I will bring you up from those graves. Ami, because you're my people. Va'avesi eschem al admas Yisrael, I will bring you to the land of Israel. V'yadatem ki ani Hashem, when the day comes. Someone sent me an email last week. And she said, may we be zocha to Mashiach, and maybe Hashem will let us be neighbors in Eretz Yisrael on the same block. Said, I would love it. V'yadatem ki ani Hashem, you will know I am Hashem. B'pitchi es kivroseichem, when I open your graves, you'll know I'm God. V'alosi eschem, and when I bring you up from your graves, my people. This Aaron who was speaking, Aaron Feldberg, said to the people, until now we were dry bones, but here our bones are connected. The body is taking shape. Before this, we had no spirit left. But now we began to cry. And out of the cemetery that is Europe, Hashem tells us through Yechezkel, he will take us out to the land of Israel. That is where we are going, said this youth, to the land of Israel, and we will get there. Zechar Hashem of Nei Edom, Es Yom Yerushalayim, Ha'amrim, Aru, Aru! Remember the enemy who says, till today, smash it until our foundation. Someone told me that in the Olympics, the Egyptian didn't want to shake hands with the Israelis. Okay, some people. Growing up, I enjoyed the Olympics. But what's the news? There's news that the Egyptian doesn't want to shake hands with the Israeli. This is news. Why is it in the news? Aru, aru, ad hayusadba, destroy them, destroy them. Till the foundation. What's the news? A Muslim won't shake my hand. It's news. You never heard this before. It's a pella. It's in Churban Bayisheni. Nobody wants to shake her hand. Bas bava hashududa, ashrei sheyalem sheyishalem lach eskim uleich shagamalt landu. David Melech finishes and he says, you're going to be repaid back, O daughter of Babylon, you who plundered. You will be paid back what you have done to us. Ashrei sheyocheiz v'nipetz es olalaich alasela. Your infants will be dashed against the rock. Rav Soloveitchik says, during the time of the Holocaust, one of their favorite activities was to take the Jewish babies and throw them against the wall. And the brain matter, says the Rav, would drip down. Shem Shemfal Hirsch says, it is you, daughter of Bavel, that will be annihilated. The conquest of Jerusalem was their last major achievement, and that vile deed spelled the end of their empire. With this, Babylon vanished from world history, unmourned. Who's crying over ancient Babylon? Are you crying? Who cares? Does anyone know about them? They are unmourned and they are forgotten. Jerusalem, however, will be restored. Jerusalem lives on spiritually in the brave hearts of its children who remember it forever, who will remain true to Yerushalayim even as we dwell on foreign soil. I'm finishing up. I have 2 minutes. And yet, ladies, despite our pain, if we were learning before Chatzos, we would be sitting on the floor. And we're learning after Chatzos, we get up. Vayakam David, me'aretz. After the child dies, David gets up. And despite our tears and despite our cries, we're going to sweep the floor. Go home and sweep the floor. It's a minhag Yisrael because you're anticipating the Messiah is coming today. So your house should be clean. and we recite Nachem, the paragraph of comfort in the afternoon. Rabbi Melech Biderman tells over the following story. I'm finishing up. Bedarach Tzachut, in a humorous fashion, there's a group of people davening at the Kosel. And one guy is shouting out, Ribono Shel Olam, 500 shekels. All I need is 500 shekels. Then it'll be enough for me. You won't hear from me anymore. The guy next to him hears him screaming for 500 shekels. He takes out his wallet. He gives the man 500 shekels. The guy says, what are you doing? He's completely stunned. The astonished man says, you're giving me 500 shekels? The man who paid him looks at him and he says, we're davening for millions. They're asking for 500 shekels. You're lowering the rates. The Biderman says, it's a joke, but it's a reminder. When we daven, we should ask for a lot. I'm finishing. We cry for Yeshuos, cry for Refuos, we cry for Shaduchim, we cry for Parnasa, we cry for Shalom Bayis, for Nachas Gidol Banim. We cry and we cry, but ladies, don't lower the rates. Don't stop at 500 shekel when we weep, when we lament, when we cry, pray, beg Hashem, not only for ourselves and our personal individual situations. We have to ask for millions. The Geula, the Binyan, the Simcha of Tzion, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, because then we will no longer cry by the rivers of Babylon. We will sing once again on the Duchen in a rebuilt and redeemed Yerushalayim, Ko Amar Hashem. Just going to end with the words of the Navi, please. Zechariah. Shafti al Tzion. I will return to Tzion. V'shachanti b'soch Yerushalayim. I will be your neighbor again. V'nikra Yerushalayim ir ha'emes. Jerusalem will be the city of truth. And the mountain of Hashem will be holy. Od yeshvu zekenim uzkenos. B'chovos Yerushalayim. The time will come when old men and women will once again sit in tranquility and peace in the streets of Jerusalem. V'ish mishanto b'yado. May Rav Yamim, and the man will hold the staff in his hand in his old age. Rechavos ha'ir yamalu, and the streets will be filled, not with the tears of the mothers and the fathers, and the children, and the brothers and the sisters, and the bereaved Rabbeim, and the orphan children. One day, Rechavos ha'ir yamalu, the streets will be filled with yaladim v'yalados, boys and girls, misachakim. They will be playing and our dances will be restored, b'chovasaha, in her streets. May we merit it today, b'yam hazeh, when past and future merge into a glorious present. Amen v'amen. We should share b'soros tovos, everybody. Thank you.